Everyone, it's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And I have got such a wonderful guest today. You're going to love getting to know her and find out more about her. Her name is Robin Hatcher. She is a professional speaker. She is a communication expert consultant, and she specializes in leadership. She's written a book. We're going to talk to her more about that. But first of all, Robin, thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you, Angela, for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Great. Wonderful. So first of all, Robin, this podcast is all about focusing and you're a speaker. So I've got a big question for you. So when you're going out on stage, but it's just, you know, something's not right. Like we had a few tech issues today, but something isn't going right, but you're frazzled. How, and you go on stage, how do you pull yourself together?
The one thing that I use is to focus on my audience, focus on what it is that I have to give. You know, it's like, one of the things I do is I take a deep breath, and this just happened to me. I just came back from Chattanooga, Tennessee, I was privileged to present to a company team meeting. And before I went on, the guy said, "Oh, I don't have your bio and your intro," which I thought I'd sent and I hadn't. So I had to go on my computer and find it to send to him. And it was just like, you know, causing that just extra frazzle thing. And there were a couple of things that worked in my favor. Before I went on, there was somebody from the team who was doing a mindfulness exercise. And I decided, and I did it with her. So that really focused me. It was like she had a tactile strip that she gave out. And so I used that. And then I really just pulled up and said, "I'm here to give." And that's what works for me.
So I know a lot about speaking. I do that myself and different things, but I don't know. What did you say? The tactile strip? What is that?
It was interesting. It's like, this was a mindfulness thing that this woman was, it's a little strip that has texture on it. And she said that, you know, rubbing it, just close your eyes, breathe and rub it in a figure eight for a minute will just help to refocus and settle you.
I'm going to write this down. What a great idea. And mainly for sensory issues.
Yeah.
So for people that have sensory issues, like we have our products, paper is really expensive, but paper, I'm a flipper and paper is so important. So the texture, that's a really interesting concept. And so you used it, but it looks like you keep using it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just got it. So I'm going to keep it in, and it's sticky. It's called a calming strip, I think, and it's sticky on one side. So you can stick it on your phone or something and use it whenever you need it, or water bottle or something like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll have to look that up. I'm excited to know about that. Perfect. First of all, we are always curious about your journey, right? Of where you get to where you're at today. So how did this happen? How did you know you were going to be a professional speaker, and how did it all work through? And I'm going to let you explain that versus I could sit here and read your bio, but I think it's really good to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, in all likely sense, there was absolutely no way, if you knew me, that you would think that I would ever become a professional speaker. And I say that because as a child, my literal nickname was Shy. No one knew my name because I was so incredibly shy that it became my nickname. And my mother introduced me as that. She signed Christmas cards of that. That's who I was. I didn't want to look at people. So the fact that I can now stand on stage and speak to thousands of people who are hopefully looking at me is kind of strange. You know, a lot of my mother's friends are just totally shocked when they find out what I did. And that journey is winding. It's like, you know, I believe that people know or get a sense of what they need to do in life or aspire to do their life between the ages of 8 and 10. And when I work with my clients, that's one of the things that I ask them to think about. You know, when you excavate your value, think about what you were like when you were between the ages of 8 and 10, because that is when you start to really cultivate the you and the you-ness of you. And around that age, my mother wanted to try to get me out of my shyness. And she took me to an acting class. She signed me up for an acting class, which, you know, I sat there and I did all the exercises and I was like, oh, that's interesting. didn't necessarily work all at once. But when I got to high school, I realized like, this is so awful to be tied in this straitjacket of shyness. And I was, you know, I'd walk around high school and I would see all these girls talking to each other. I went to an all-girls school and, you know, it was like, everybody was having fun. It's like, okay, got to get out of this. So one of the things I did was I auditioned for one of the play. I heard this announcement because, you know, I guess I remember that feeling of being 8 years old. And so I auditioned for the play. I actually got the part, but I think more than that is that I unleashed this part of me. And that's what I also work with when I work with my leaders and my communicators, is that there's something inside of us that is waiting to come out. There's gold inside of us that we cover up. And so one of the things that I did when I was on that stage auditioning was I uncovered myself just enough to let out all of this amazing emotion that I've been covering up as a shy person for all that time. And so when that happened, then of course, when I got the part, I got a new set of friends. I got an opportunity to act every day in that rehearsal and act as if I wasn't shy. That led me to this, became an actor. As an actor, I was struggling. So I decided to get another job, which was teaching English as a second language. And as I was teaching English as a second language, I learned that how much I loved helping people communicate. You know, they were adults and they were just, it wasn't about the grammar, it wasn't about the sentence structure. It was about knowing how to communicate. So I used a lot of my acting skills to help them communicate. And that's when I fell in love with teaching communication and public speaking. The college that I taught to at Baruch University, City University of New York, Baruch College, started using me to speak, to teach their native speakers. So I developed my own form of teaching presentation skills, public speaking, and communication. And that grew into my business.
I love that. I find that so interesting about what you mentioned about between the ages of 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. I've shared this with many people on the show here, but when I was younger, I'd had some surgeries. And years ago, I'm 54. So years ago, when they would take you into surgery, they would take you away, go into these steel doors, and it was terrifying. And yeah. I never told my parents, but I was fearful to go to school because I saw the nurse in white. That was the connection. I never told my parents that until I was in college. But it was about that time. And my mother took me to a psychiatrist and he said, how does she sleep? And he said, she's like a rock. And he said, get her into something that builds her confidence. And she got me into gymnastics and acting as well. So we're soul sisters on that. I love that. Yeah. Because I think back to that time frame and I think, what if she hadn't have done that? And I never told people, I would have that, you know, just that inner fear that would have been with me for years. Right. So I want to ask you a question about that. So let's talk about parents real quick. Because I think that's so fascinating. If they have a child from 8 to 10 and they notice that they're, you know, shy or something, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, it's really, interesting. That's an interesting question. It's like, because you don't want to highlight the shyness. I think my mother's idea of putting him in an acting school was a good one. You know, it's like, and what wasn't a good one is to let me be nicknamed shy, you know, because,
right.
The thing is, I could have probably, you know, I think my shyness was also situational. I was in a group, in a family that everybody was an extrovert except for me. So it's like, I just didn't feel like I fit in. So I had to just be quiet. So I feel like with parenting, I really think that you always need to meet your child where they are, you know, and have that conversation with them. And, you know, there are things that I look back on. My son is 31. I look back and I wish I had listened even more. I mean, I feel like just listen to what they are and have conversations and ask those questions that you think that they may not have the answer to, but they might, and to really just ask the questions and be there and be present. You know, I feel like, and if you can put them in, my son was in sports his whole life, but if you can do them, and some people want to force their child into sports. My son gravitated to sports. He loved it. There are people that think, oh, I have to have my child play sports or else. It's like, but they don't gravitate. If it's not them, then you're doing them a disservice. So I really feel like just listening to what they need and getting, and like your parents were told, it's like, get them help. You know, sometimes we, you know, we think as parents, we should know all the answers, but we don't.
Right.
You know, they need therapy, get it for them.
That is fantastic advice. And the reason I say that, my son was a child actor out in Los Angeles when he was younger, but there was a point where he just wanted to go play soccer. And he wanted to go, but, and I said, you know what, let's go play soccer. Let's go play basket. Let's live. Right. And so I remember that. I love that I did that and didn't try to be a stage mom or anything like that. But the other thing that I thought, someone told me advice, they said, when your teenager wants to talk to you, it's when you want to go to sleep. And that is the hardest thing to do, because you're like, can we talk about this in the morning? Yeah. And those have been some of my best talks when my son was at home.
I just have to tell you, it's very funny because for another similarity, my son was a model as a baby. And so I would take him to these calls, and there was one audition. I mean, he had a couple of jobs. There was one audition. We stood in line, and he started bursting out crying, and he would not stop. And I said, okay, this is over.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what it's like. Those auditions are, I mean, it's like the night before you get it, and you've got to be there at this time and be on. And, you know, my son, if you ever remember the song Cupid Shuffle. So several years back when Hallmark had a doll, he is the voice to the Hallmark Cupid Shuffle. So it was Cupid Shuffle. But those are wonderful memories. And he at first was embarrassed, but now he loves it, because it made him now who he was, you know,
right.
So he loves that. So I want to talk to you more about when you're speaking, when you are out on stage, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but let's say you have an audience and they are not engaged. They're on their phones. They are, you know, on their, you know, texting. You're just not, and that may not have happened to you, but you're not getting their attention. What do you do?
Interesting question. Fortunately, that has not happened to me. Actually, it has happened to me. And it was a weird thing. I was like, it was a group of millennials. And it wasn't that they were on their phones. It was the weirdest thing. It's like I had a slideshow, right? And instead of looking at me, I looked up and they were all staring at the slides. And it was like, they were literally staring at the slides. And I was standing right here. And so finally I thought, you know, this is really uncomfortable. It's weird. And I just turned off the slides. And so, you know, it's like, you know, no, you're not going to look at them. You're going to look at me. So that's so my advice, like if it's not about, if they're looking at their phones, it's time to stop and change it up. That's when, and you'll see in my book, that's actually some of the things I talk about. Is the bloopers, what happens. It's like, so you would then stop, ask a question, or call on somebody, you know, go up and call, or just stop talking. You know, that whole kindergarten thing is that, you know, it's like when the teacher is quiet, everybody's going to look up. It's like, if you've been talking, they're looking down, and then just stop talking. Everybody's going to look up, and then you can start talking again. But those are some of the things that
That's fantastic. That's great. But honestly, we have a lot of speakers that we talk to. And, you know, I always find that they're always willing to listen to new ideas and how things work better for somebody. So I think you've already helped many people, you know, right there. Yeah. But talk to me about what you know, you talk about leadership. So first of all, I'm curious, how did you get found to be a speaker? Did you just start getting yourself out there? And then I want to ask that question. And then you talk about leadership, but specifically, you know, what is your topics about, so that if anyone's interested, they can reach out to you?
Yeah. So getting started was slow and then fast. Like there are a couple of things that I did. I was speaking, I was training for a long time. So training and speaking are slightly different. And so, but as a trainer, you're always speaking. So a lot of people, when I was at Baruch, started hiring me to work with leadership development group. So I would do 2-3 hour trainings, 1 hour trainings, 4 hour trainings, full day trainings. So I would do that. So I was always speaking that way. Then I joined the National Speakers Association, which I totally highly recommend, because when you join the National Speakers Association, it doesn't teach you how to speak. It doesn't get you jobs. It doesn't do anything. But what it does do is it puts you in community with people who are making their living speaking. And what it does is it really gives you the eye-opening skills, like the speakers that we bring in our chapter, and I'm going to be the president of the New York chapter next year. But the people that we bring in, you can either just, they have incredible content that helps speakers. They also, you can see the various styles that speakers come in, you know, and they will, and the National Speakers Association is one of the most sharing, open, generous organizations and communities that I've ever experienced. So they will give you all of their inside tips and all of their tricks and how, and referrals and things like that. So that's one way that I got started. And then you just, the more that you speak, the more people refer you. And that's one of the things that happens. It was like, I just got an email the other day from someone who wanted me to do a proposal for something. She saw me 7 years ago. And she said, I saw you 7 years ago. And I just never forgot your presence and the way that you presented. So I want you for this job.
Wow. So, you must have made an impression years ago. And I think a lot of that happens to a lot of people. And the things we say, our kindness, the way that we treat people, especially the people that set the conferences up, are so important. Those little things make a difference.
Right. And you plant the seeds, you have no idea when it's going to turn into, grow into something. Mm-hmm. And so what I speak about, and it varies, it's changed over the years, but I've really coalesced it all into something that I call the magnetic leader. And the magnetic leader is like, I want to develop leaders that people want to follow. And I want to develop people that people want to be with and teams that people want to be on. You know, so that's what I consider. And I have three pillars for my magnetic leader framework. It starts with aligned authenticity, because I feel like we need to be authentic, but I'm really so tired of people saying that you need to be authentic, because authentic does not always mean effective. So what I like to qualify it as, you need to align authenticity, which means it needs to align with your own values, your personal values, who you are, but it also has to align with the situation, the team, the event, whatever. It has to align with what it is that the purpose of you being there is. You can't just show up and it's like, oh, I'm being myself, if it's not in alignment with what's needed at that time. The second pillar is radical recognition. I believe that we, in order to be a great leader or a great person, we need to recognize the greatness in other people. And when people feel seen, heard, and valued, then they do their best work. You know, and the saying that I like to say is, people don't do what you say until you see who they are. And they won't share who they are until they see who you are. You know, so it's like that being radical recognition, like you have to recognize the people in front of you and you have to allow yourself to be recognized and seen. And then the third pillar is inclusive visibility, because inclusivity is a big thing. So many organizations and corporations are out there from hiring for diversity and inclusion and belonging, and having this diversity, inclusion, belonging vice presidents and whatever they're doing. But that doesn't always lead to inclusive visibility. You know, it's like, I really feel though, when we recognize the different communication styles, the diversity within the communication styles, and be able to see that people speak and think in different ways, regardless of what race, gender, nationality, or disability they have. If we can recognize who that person is and communicate with them in making them feel visible, then you're going to have a magnetic leader. And when you create all of those pillars, if you fulfill all those pillars. So when I speak, I either speak on one or two or more of those pillars. So like one of my most popular speeches now is called Invisible to Invaluable. And that's mostly lives on the pillar of aligned authenticity. So like who you are. And we talk about the super eights. You know, the super eights are excavate your value, communicate your value, radiate your value, and or advocate for your value. You know, I have a lot of eights that I use in that pillar. And then when I teach about the other parts of leadership, inclusive visibility, I have something that I call the ICU needs. So like either like because they're totally emergency needs.
Right. And, I love that. Yes.
Also is ICU. And so, you know, that I will go through what people need and what triggers them when that need is not fulfilled.
I love that. Well, that is incredible. And we hear a lot about diversity and inclusion right now, and it's true, but there's so much more that can be advanced into that area. You're a woman, we're a woman in business. I love that. So I want you to tell us about your book and where we can get it, but I'm going to share with the audience some really cool things that we found out about Robin that she doesn't know that we're mentioning. So I think they're very cool. So these are some fun facts. You might've seen these on her website, but I'm going to share them because if you haven't seen them, you'll love this. Okay. So first of all, she once wrote two daytime dramas for One Life to Live and All My Children. Way cool. I'm an actress, so love that as well. You did a TV commercial that you were starred in for the New York Times that ran for 8 years and was parodied on Saturday Night Live with Halle Berry playing you. And I have to tell people, some of these big jobs, they don't pay you $1 million, right? So you never know how much you're going to get from these. You can play once, but for 8 years, that's really cool. That's really cool that you once judged a Miss Montana and a Miss Montana USA pageant. Yay, good for you. You have a son who graduated from Yale and played professional baseball. Congratulations to him. That's an incredible feat. And especially in today's world, there's a lot of people that don't know if they want to go to college and they don't. So good for you and good for him. And we talked about this, that your nickname growing up was Shy. But I have to tell you, that's changed and it's appeared in Christmas cards through her family. But that's changed. You came out of your shell. So it's obvious and really good for you, because think about what you would have been like if you hadn't. Right?
Yeah.
I would assume, I'm going to take a guess, that you're a self-help person. You're always trying to be better, do better and learn better. And yeah, I do that as well. So if anyone is interested in booking you to be a speaker, where do they go to your website or where can they reach you?
Yeah. My website is the best place, robinhatcher.com. There's a form that you can fill out that says find out more, and you can find out a lot on the website. Yeah. And it's interesting when you say I've come out of my shell. It's true. Like this, one of the things that I was talking about, like even at this presentation I did yesterday. Oh my God, I can't believe it was just yesterday.
Story of my life, Robin. Okay. We got stuff going on every day.
The premise of my book, The Actor Type, is like, yeah, I know how to not be shy, but under stress, I can slip right into it. You know, because it's like we morph and we change and we add, and I know how the brain works. I'm a real huge brain science geek. So I put a lot of research and science-based facts and research into my presentations and all of my coaching. And so I've got a pretty long, strong path down this non-shy way. But that ingrown shyness that lasted for like the first 12, 14 years of my life, that path is not completely overgrown, you know, so you can slip back into it.
That's right. But, yeah. And also with women and aging, you know, our hormones, different things change, right? But you go back to the core self of why you do what you do and what you're doing. So, so if they want to buy your book, can they get it on your website, Amazon? Where can they find that?
Amazon, Standing Ovation Presentations is the name of the book. You can get it on Amazon.com.
On this book, tell us a little bit, if somebody were to buy it, what will they learn from it?
I had a friend describe it as a primer in learning how to do a presentation or communicate. And I say that because you will learn the nuts and bolts of everything that you need to know to stand in front of an audience, to create a presentation from top to bottom, create the outline, how to flesh it in, how to deliver it with confidence, like how to stand, how to use your voice. I have vocal exercises in there. And there are vocal exercises that are actually also supported because they have a CD that you can also find on Amazon called The Workout, Speaking ETC, Speaking Workout, Vocal Workout, which has the exercises that you can listen to and either CD or MP3. And so it has all of that nuts and bolts stuff and has the do's and don'ts of presentations and communication, what works, what doesn't. But I also have created this fun actor type assessment tool. And I call, you know, like you've seen there's Strength Finders and there's DISC and there's all kinds of these personality and communication assessments. But when I sat down to write my book, because what was happening is I was teaching at Baruch, I was teaching public speaking, and the students needed textbooks. And I would look at these textbooks and it's like, oh my God, these are so awful. They're so dry. They're so boring. And they have all this text. And we're talking about presentations. Like, I don't want, and they were so expensive. They were like $60, $70 for a college book on public speaking. And it's like, I'm not having my students do this. So I started writing my own book. It was like a tiny workbook at the time. So when I sat down to write my book, I said, okay, now I want to create a book that not just these workbooks. So I used all those workbook. And I also wanted something a little bit different. And knowing that I was a soap opera writer, a screenwriter, and an actor, I created something that I called actor types. Because what I noticed is when I was talking, even when I was teaching my second language students, there were these communication styles that transcended language. You know, so a Russian student would start behaving and acting and presenting like a Japanese student that I had the previous year, or German student or a Korean student. And I started thinking, you know, we all come in these such varied types. So I started looking into my my acting skills. And as actors, you know, we are always typecast. And you know that. It's like, you know, you get the breakdown and like, what is your type? Blah, 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 blah. And I thought, huh, wouldn't that be interesting is like to categorize people as actor types. And so what I did was I created these 9 different actor types that people tend to fall into. And so, of course, you can be a combination of one or more than one. And when you identify your actor type, then the book will then list all the fatal flaws of your actor type, because there's not one best way. And the positive and the strength of your actor type, so that you can strengthen and really walk into and stand into your actor type and start to work on mitigating the fatal flaws that might have cropped up. And the beauty of it is that you also want to be a ninja or a superstar actor type, because you may need to flex your style depending on who it is. And that's what I tell my leaders, that you need to be a superstar. And when you think of actors like Meryl Streep, you know, she can play any of the 9 actor types because she's a superstar. She knows how to flex. And in order to be a leader, you need to know where you gravitate, what your default actor type is, and then have the ability to flex it as well. And so I give you exercises to do to mitigate your flaws, to try to borrow one of the qualities of an actor type that you may not have.
I love it. I'm going to tell you why, because I have a lot of friends who are actors, and there's nothing like being in your 40s and your agent calls and says, well, you're more the mom type, or you're the, and you're like, no way. I used to be this really attractive young lady, but they're like, yeah, we're going to put you at this age group. So yeah, so I get it. So, well, first of all, if anyone has never seen Robin or met her, she has such a warm, vibrant, focused attitude and warm kindness about her that I would recommend her to anyone. So I know I could talk to you all day. So this has been really great. But I do have one question for you. It's a question that we ask all of our guests. When you're having one of those off days, it's just, you know, something's gone wrong. You're frazzled. You're not yourself. You're running late and you get in your car and you've got to bring yourself together and you've got to have game on. What is the music or the genre or the artist that you listen to?
That is such an easy question because I actually have it in my introduction. In my introduction, the last line says, if Robin is not on stage or training, you can find her Zumba dancing, watching game shows on TV, vintage game shows on TV, or singing off key to Motown.
Motown.
So my genre is Motown. And when you said that, there's one song that just sort of popped into my head. And I don't know. It was like, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no. Yeah. So
she can sing. What is that? You said you can't sing on key. That was fantastic. That is, you know, that's great. And positivity is so good for the soul because we can really beat ourselves up, right? We can really beat ourselves up. And I always tell people, we have this saying in our business that we all get so busy that sometimes we need to stop, take a moment, and refocus. And so sounds like you're an amazing example of that. So first of all, Robin, thank you so much for doing this. It's been such a delight getting to know you and listen to your story and learning the fun facts about you. And we'll put some information on our show notes, but definitely she's a person you would love to get to know. So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Angela. It's been fun.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus the Creative Office. You know, many people don't stop and take a moment to leave a review on their products or an experience. It helps companies out more than you can imagine. If you have purchased our products at different websites, whether it's Amazon, Walmart, Wayfair, Staples.com, wherever you purchased it, or our website, please leave a review. We would love to get your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. But also, leave a review at other websites. It helps so many people, especially if it's positive. Let's spread that positivity around. But no matter what, have a great week, and don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.